Math, square roots, the Pythagorean theorem, and algebra. If train A leaves town X and train B leaves town Y, when will they meet in town Z if they're going 30 miles an hour? Ack. But what if you and three friends are being chased by zombies and you had to figure out how to cross a rope bridge in the dark with only one flashlight? What if you were tied to a table trying to calculate the descent of a pendulum that threatened to cut you in half? Or were worried about how long it would take the new resident vampire to make the entire town undead? These crisis calculations are all problems in the Book of Perfectly Perilous Math, 24 death-defying challenges for young mathematicians. Author Sean Connolly joins us from KUHF in Houston, Texas, with more. Sean, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, it sounds like a play on the book, The Dangerous Book for Boys. This is for boys and girls. But when did you get the idea of putting peril and math together?
Well, this is the third, and I wouldn't call it quite a series, but it's the third like-minded books I've written, two of which were in science, and this is now the math one. So we had the book of Totally Irresponsible Science, and then Potentially Catastrophic Science. Perfectly Perilous Math also has the benefit of alliteration, so we're keeping the stakes raised in this sort of series.
Ah, you mentioned stakes, so let's go to your vampire problem first. And you have a vampire coming to a town of 500,000 people. The vampire feeds only twice a month, but those people turn into vampires as well. So the question is, if the vampires feed only on people in your town, remember it was a town of 500,000, approximately how many months will it take for your 500,000-person town to become populated entirely by vampires? So what do we do here?
Well, think about what the facts are that you do know. There's currently only one vampire in town. Mm-hmm. There are 500,000 people living in the town, and every month one vampire feeds on two humans, turning them into vampires. Add those to the original vampire, you have three. The following month, each of these three vampires will then transform two more into vampires, two more humans, making six.
Mm-hmm.
These get added to the original three, and the total vampire population would be nine. These nine, in turn, turn two more humans into vampires by the end of the third month, making the population 27. There's beginning to be a pattern. And if you think that V, I'm sorry if people hate those letters creeping in here, but this is a neat way of doing it quickly. V would equal the number of vampires, and X would equal the total number of vampires. V times 2 plus V, so in other words, the number of vampires times 2 plus the number of vampires equals X.
Ah.
So X is the total number of vampires at the end of any given period. So you can work it out. You can also form a table if you find it easier, just to make it a bit more schematic, where you have month one, month two, current vampires, new vampires, and then the total, because the current plus the new equal the new total. And the number gets big very quickly.
Yeah, it's exponentially. It blows up. Yep. Mm-hmm.
By the end of 1 year, the number is 531,441 total vampires.
So kids have the fun of figuring out that equation, and you help them with that. And then they get to see this, their entire town. Oh, my God, it could take, it's just a year in which your entire town could be taken over by vampires. Everybody run. It's fun. And in others, you also give them, in addition to the problem, there's a little bit of do-it-yourself in case you want to make your own pendulum, for instance. Let's look at that problem. This is, you know, straight out of Edgar Allan Poe. A pendulum blade is 15 inches above their chest, lowering 1 inch with each swing. While a rat is chewing through the rope that's holding you on the table, it's going to take the rat 60 seconds to chew through that rope. So will that rat get you out of the rope before the pendulum swings and cuts you in half?
That's it in a nutshell. And you know the rate of rat gnawing, you know that's a minute. And you know the rate of the pendulum, that each swish is 7 seconds long. And you also know how much each swish brings the pendulum closer to you. So it's a question of working out these two rates, basically. You know how long it will take for the rat to gnaw through the rope. You also know how much more the blade must lower before it reaches you.
By the way, we'll have the answers and the problems at hereandnow.org for those of you saying, quick, you know, we to get the victim off the table before the pendulum swings down. And by the way, they're not all, you know, vampires and pit and pendulum. One of the problems is the pizza peril. This is right out of The Devil Wears Prada. It's a young girl on her first day at Catwalk magazine. She's working for the toughest editor in the business. She has to take a lump sum of money and go buy pizza and then figure out, you know, how to divide up the slices. But how do you see it affecting kids?
Well, first of all, I've written these somewhat in collaboration with my own children. I've got girl-boy twins, and with that come all those gender preconceptions. And in this case, we do sometimes fight a losing battle, or at least a difficult battle, to convince my daughter, Anna, that she is actually very capable in math and science. And also, we need to get her brother, Thomas, who I wouldn't say he's a complete tinkerer with things, but he's the one who will read occasionally a nonfiction book. We want him to be reading. So we're looking for a merger here, really. We want someone who's comfortable with words to branch out into math. And then also the same thing happened in the other direction.
Oh, interesting. So does it work?
I'm getting compliments from parents and godparents and some teachers who say that it seems to be doing the trick, that this book gets girls interested in math and boys interested in reading. It's very rewarding, and personally so for me with my own family situation.
Well, that's what I was asking. So did it work with the twins, with your kids?
It does, actually, and it might be, in each case, it could be a slightly different collaboration or a little bit of inspiration. It might just be that follow-on, that do-it-yourself aspect that you described. And we call them the math labs. For example, the one with the vampires. I draw people's attention back to the man who invented chess 2,000 years ago, and his reward, all he wanted from the king, was one grain of rice on the first square of the new chessboard, two on the second, four on the third, and so forth. I get kids to do it, including my own kids, and it brings home, they get to about the fifth square and they get bored doing rice because eventually it's going to turn into 18 pentillion if you fill the square, all the squares.
Really?
Yeah, it's a huge number. But, you know, even when we got to about four or five squares with my daughter, she was the one who was really getting a kick out of it and was really trying to work out, or at least hazard a guess of how much the total would reach.
Yeah. And it was it 18 pentillion?
18 pentillion, 446 quadrillion, 744 trillion, 73 billion, 709 million, 551,000, 615.
That's a lot of rice.
That is a lot of rice.
We're talking with Sean Connolly about the book of Perfectly Perilous Math, 24 Death-Defying Challenges for Young Mathematicians. As we said, we'll post a few at hereandnow.org. Puzzle them out with your kids. Sean, thanks so much.
Thank you. Come on.